Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Good morning, church. I hope you're all well. Welcome to your Sunday service. This is Last Adam Tabernacle, as you know. My name is Sandra Kimenyi. I will be your preacher again this Sunday. I hope you'll be blessed. So let us start with a small prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you for this Sunday. We want to thank you that this is the day that you have made. We want to thank you for your faithfulness. We want to thank you for your goodness. We want to thank you for carrying us through this entire period of the lockdown. Thank you for supplying for us. Thank you for protecting us, being in the midst of us. Thank you for your presence hovering over us. Thank you that your banner over us is love. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done through this lockdown. And as it's coming to an end, we just bless your name. We pray that we'll continue to lift you high and glorify your name. In the mighty name of Jesus, I have prayed. Amen. So this morning, we're going to talk about the Great Awakening, the Great Revival, the Great Harvest. Those are the various names that have been given to this move, should I say, that's coming up. Last week, I hinted about it, actually, about Prophet Bob Jones' prophecy about 2020, when the Chiefs would win. That would be the beginning of the greatest and last move of God. And if you listen to the YouTube video that Pastor sent over the week, there was also James Gull, who also heard that same prophetic word from Bob Jones. So I just wanted to let's talk about the revival and what to expect, really, what it's about, what is our role in this revival, why we should be excited, really. It's exciting, honestly, and I hope as a church we will get excited about what's coming up after I go into this short but very hopefully deep dive into this revival. So let's begin with, what is a revival? A revival is a supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit that causes a heightened awareness of God. Yeah? It's a move of God. So I did a bit of research about revivals and that have taken place, and I found a number, and interestingly, I found a few in the Bible. One was John the Baptist. In Matthew chapter 3, he talks about how people from all over the place came to him to be baptized in water unto repentance. Then another example of a revival that took place was in Acts 2, where the disciples and all these people gathered together, and there was a supernatural, like, you know, anointing that fell upon the people, you know, the tongues, the flames of fire and whatnot. But then towards the end of Acts 2, I think it talks about how, like, all these people heard the disciples speaking in tongues, and they, you know, in their languages, and they gave their lives to Christ because they saw something supernatural that had happened. You know, people who they knew were not of their tribe were speaking their language. Another example of a revival that took place is the Welsh Revival. This one is famous because you'll know people like Smith Wigglesworth. He was one of the people who was influenced greatly by that revival. And then we also have the Azusa Street Revival, which I think is one of the most famous. Like, everyone talks about Azusa Street, Azusa Street. Yes, there was something special there that happened. And very many other people have had revivals, like Kenneth Hagin, Mariah Woodworth Etta. She had great revivals that happened in her ministry. Now, the reason why the word revival excites me is because there's something supernatural that happens. You know, like, it's not ordinary. It's not the mundane. Like, it's not, okay, yeah, yes, mundane, going to church and listening to someone preach and then leaving, or with your children and whatnot, and just, no, it's not that. And just sitting in the listening, which is good. It is good. But there's something about a revival. I was actually looking at what revive means in the dictionary, and it means to return to life, yeah, to reinvigorate, Yeah. So it's like a boost, like, should I say? Revival is like a boost. It's like something that, like, woof. And, you know, imagine God boosting you. Yeah. So, like, okay, the mundane, yes, it's good for us, the ones who are already, we enjoy that. But, you know, when that boost comes, something supernatural happens and it affects everyone, including the people who are already in church and the people who are not in church, right? So one of the things that got me excited when I was reading about these revivals was there is unbelievable repentance that happens. And this repentance is not, okay, yes, there'll be the preaching. Yeah, people would come and preach and whatnot. But then there was just the Lord cutting to people's hearts without even anyone saying anything, which I found so beautiful. I was like, wow, imagine that. Like, for example, just to explain this a bit more, in the Hebrides revival, which I just discovered in the YouTube video that Pastor shared, I went and read about it. And apparently there was this group of gentlemen and ladies who, like, you know, there was a club nearby. Okay, not nearby. It was actually a bit of a distance away. And, you know, they are dancing, and in another, like, miles, they said 7 miles or 6 miles away were a group of women praying, yeah? These two ladies and a couple of people had gathered together to pray, you know? And they were asking God, like, God, you said you would pour out your spirit on us. You'd say you would water the dry earth, you know, and we are ready, like, you know? And apparently there was a woof, like a boost, should I say, that came. And while they were praying, imagine, in the club, you know, that was 7 miles away. So just to give you a picture of what 7 miles away is, it's like, okay, I'm here. Sandra is in her room. I'm praying, right? And then someone in 7 miles is town, yeah? So imagine club, silk, yeah? All those people there, because of the earnest prayer of us who are gathered in this, me and or a group of people who are gathered here, because of what we are praying, the people in Ange or Club Silk, I don't know the clubs that are on now, get cut to their hearts and they immediately run out. So that's what happened. These youth run out of the club and run to the church. Yeah. And they literally, these people walked out and find this youth like begging God, like asking for mercy, you know? So that's something that I found very interesting about revival. I was like, wait, what? Like, so not only this example, but even in the Azusa Street revival, apparently people, they just saw people walking to the church and saying, we need God, we need God, we need to receive God in our lives, we need mercy. And no one had spoken to them, no one had preached to them. It was like the Holy Spirit just cut to their hearts. And even apparently Mariah Woodworth Etta, she was preaching in I think it was a street or something, and people in houses apparently in the village who aren't even attending, they were minding their own business, you know, they just started weeping, you know, they just started weeping in their houses, calling out to God, you know. So I found that so amazing. I love the supernatural, you know? So I don't know about you, but that's exciting. Imagine that happening in Uganda, you know, like a small church, like, you know, LAT, we gather together and we decide, okay, let's pray for revival. And then boom, the supernatural boost or, you know, just comes in and et voila, you know, the entire city is set on fire for God, you know? I found that so amazing. So in addition, it's more or less the same thing. There's a tangible move of the Holy Spirit when revival happens. You know, tangible, like you can actually touch, you know, like, I don't know, you can, have you been in those services of ours where like you say, you know what, I actually know that I felt God. I know that I felt God. Now, in a revival, it's even more so. It's more so. So in the Azusa Street revival, there was an example. Apparently, this guy was talking about how he, you know, his family was Catholic and whatnot. And his mom just felt, okay, let's go to church. There are people gathering at this church. Let's go there. So she goes there. And he said, as a young boy, he could not, like, he actually felt something was happening. He felt, first of all, he said that in the church, children, babies were not moving. Like, if you've ever been in church, like, you know, as mothers and whatnot, like parents, like you just, like, kids are everywhere. Like, in as much as you want to focus on someone, like, you know, at the back of your mind, you're thinking, oh, there's, my child has come or whatever. You have to do this, do that. But imagine, like, in this, why I wanted to say that it's a tangible move of the spirit. Like, imagine, like, babies would be quiet. Like, babies, quiet. Kids would not move. There would be no children moving. Everyone would be, like, in, because they are, you know, focusing, or they are, like, the Holy Spirit has captured them, should I say. They're in, like, a trance. Yeah? Yeah, they're, like, in a trance, and they're not moving. I actually had something similar, with, I think, Kenneth Hagin. He was talking about how, I don't know if you've read, this is a famous story in one of his books where he talks about how this lady whose husband was, like, used to just drop her off at church, and he'd just go, drop her off and go. And then this one time he comes to church and there's nothing. The church is quiet. There's no one saying anything, right? And he's like, is there something happening? Yeah. So apparently there's, like, no, there's that supernatural move. And one of the characteristics actually is that stillness. Yeah. There's that stillness that is brought on by the holy awe of God, right? Like, people are in awe of God, and it's supernatural. It's not forced. It's like the Holy Spirit arrests, like, not arrests, or gets hold of people's hearts, and they just are, you know, like, they're like, again, I'm going to use the same word, in a trance, you know. This guy decided to go and investigate what was happening, because the church was so quiet. He couldn't hear a thing coming out of the church. He couldn't hear babies. He couldn't hear children, nothing. So he approaches the church, and people are quiet. And so he tries to, so he walks in, and then, and apparently Kenneth Hagin was watching, and this guy literally saunters in like a drunkard. He gets hit by the Holy Spirit, and this guy saunters or walks to the front of the church and gives his life to Christ, just like that. No one preached to him. Nothing. It was just, you know, it was a supernatural move of God, which is very exciting. And then another characteristic of revivals was, people are moved to pray. Chill this prayer of, like, okay, there's prayer. Like, yeah, we pray. Yeah, that's normal. But you know where people are seeking God all night? Like, and this is not human effort. This is, like, actually people on their knees saying, God, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Like, there's where, you know, you can't stop yourself from praying. You pray and you pray and you pray and you pray. And that's what I noticed also about these revivals, is that all these people prayed. And I was surprised at how long, okay, not to say that they sat and prayed for 3 years, but many of these revivals took like 3 years and 2 years. And in this, one of the characteristics were people were praying nonstop in these places, right? And then in addition, signs and wonders. The things that would happen, okay, yes, like already they're happening right now, but now this is amplified, the signs and wonders, the healings and the miracles that would happen in these revivals were unbelievable. You know, people just, and this would not even be like someone laying their hands on you. No, you're just there and your eyes are healed, or just there and people just start walking. People fall into a trance and then they wake up walking, you know. So I found that so amazing about the revival, and I was like, oh my goodness, God, I would love this to come to Uganda. Like, you know, let's be honest, if you notice, most revival that she's talked about is talked about in the US. Let's be honest. I don't know, maybe it's me who's not going to very many churches in Uganda, but honestly, I haven't really heard that much about revival in Uganda. But if you listen to the preachers in like the US and whatnot, I don't know how many times I've heard them say, hey, like, let's pray for revival. Like, we're praying for the revival. It's because they've got a taste of it. And I think I've heard of it in Uganda. I think the Kutende is a movement. Apparently it was birthed from that, from a revival that happened years ago. I just need to do a bit more research on that. But, in Uganda, I haven't really heard much about revival. And, you know, I was like, God, like, we need this in Uganda. We need this. We need, I mean, and like, you, after these examples, imagine this, like, first of all, this revival that's coming, it's talking about a billion souls coming to Christ, right? This, I believe, is our parents, you know, for all of you who are like praying for parents to get into the kingdom. Imagine that supernatural move, like, you know, where you don't have to go and say, daddy, get saved, no? So this, for me, was just a revelation as regards revival. I was like, okay, we won't have to, like, you know, go and, you know, okay, not that we won't have to go and knock on doors and ask people to, but it will be much easier. There will be an anointing. There'll be an oil, you know, that will be released. I imagine, like, do you get what I'm saying? Like, it will be, you won't have to say, okay, this is important, especially now if you think about, say, for example, your family, those family members who you would want to get saved. Like, your presence alone in that house could just, you know, you just praying in the other room could just release, you know, something, and people are cut to their hearts and say, you know what, we need God, you know, and just like that, they are transformed. I thought that was powerful. I was like, okay, God, I need this revival, because I can think of so many people who I have, or who have, not just me, but many have, you know, like, tried to minister to, and literally they are not budging. So revival is good because, you know, it gives that ease, you know, the Holy Spirit just does a work that you cannot believe, you know, that is above us, you know. And not to say that preaching stops, but this just gives ease. It's like the car. You need that oil. You need the fuel to make the car move, okay? So I imagined revival coming to Uganda, for example, the transformation that would happen, you know. Let's be honest, we need revival, yeah? Let's look at, just imagine revival hitting our parliament, for example. the heads of state, yeah? What amazing things would happen in this nation, you know? We need revival, you know? And so, I just think hospitals, so much would change, like, with revival, like people getting healed, people walking out of hospitals saying, you know what, I don't need this medicine anymore, you know? I need God, you know? It would be really amazing. In schools, that's just thinking about it makes me so happy. But this won't just happen. Let's be honest. This won't just happen. God is a gentleman. You know, if you don't ask for something, he's not going to say, surprise, here it is. Like, I know you didn't ask for it, but I'm just giving it to you because, you know, no, he's a gentleman. And, you know, nothing happens on this earth unless a human or a person has asked for it. He actually requires us to pray, and then he releases whatever he has in heaven. So that's one of the things I wanted to, like, implore you to do, is, like, maybe it's our turn to pray for revival, you know, in this nation, you know. Ask God, like, God, we need you in our parliament. We need you in our state house. We need you in our hospitals. We need you in our families. We need you in our jobs, you know. Imagine just going to work. You don't even say anything, and, you know, someone just walks up to you and says, you know what, I feel like I need God in my life, you know, and, like, what do I do? You know, that's what happened in these revivals. That's what people say it happened, you know. So go and read more about it. It's amazing what people are saying. And I see now why, you know, these, the people in the US, should I say Americans, keep on talking about the need for revival, the revival, because it's something that is supernatural. It's out of this world. Yeah. So we need to pray for revival. We need to ask God to come into our nation, to meet us, you know, and just do something. So again, what does this mean for us? I think this means a need to walk in our purposes, a need to find out our identity in Christ, a need to find out what the original manuscript, or, I don't know, design that God had for us. What did God want us, like, what did he have planned for us to be? Now, what do I mean? For example, Paul was a tent maker, and he did this so that he could fund his ministry, more or less, you know, and which was, he was an apostle, an apostle to the Gentiles. So we need to find out who we are so that we can, you know, herald or move this revival or make it happen. Now, what if you're called to be like an intercessor? And, you know, in as much as, yes, I'm not saying go and quit your job. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that what if, like, you have a whole other thing that God called you to be, and, you know, and based on that, being obedient to that or finding out whatever that is, you are able to influence or bring people to Christ, you know, as a result of you walking in your purpose. I shudder to think if, for example, like, imagine if Andrew Womack decided to, you know, let me be a mathematician and whatever. I mean, where would some of us be? Or if, let's see, if Kenneth Hagin had decided to, I think he wanted to be a lawyer. Yeah, he was like, okay, let me go be a lawyer. You know, like, I'm not saying that those vocations are wrong or anything. I'm just saying that, you know, maybe you're actually even called to be a lawyer in the legal system, and you're called to, like, go to a higher, you know, something in that. So walking in your purpose, I think, is very important. And another example is, I think, what if you're called to be in the parliament? You're meant to be a political leader, you know, and you are the one to bring that, to effect that change. You know, you being in that position would allow, you know, the Lord to move in that, you know, political party or in the parliament. I mean, there's so many examples. So I think this requires us as a church to, like, you know, first take a step back and say, okay, God, who did you create me to be? And how can I be that so that I can effect the change or effect the move, you know, to bring revival into the city, into Uganda, you know? So those are my thoughts on the revival. Let us be part of what God is doing, you know? Let us not be, like, bystanders. You know, there's a reason why they're, I think I was thinking about this, and I was like, okay, God, this revival that's coming, the Great Awakening, must be something, because we have a whole great cloud of witnesses who are watching. And these people did wonders, you know, they did by the unction of the Holy Spirit, but the amazing things happened. But, you know, the Bible says that the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former one. So imagine something greater than all these things that have happened, all these revivals that have happened, is going to happen. It's going to be so magnified that the great cloud of witnesses will be there watching and in awe of what God is doing. So let us be a part of it. Let us not be bystanders. Eh? I don't want to get to heaven and these guys are like, so, we were watching, but we saw you going the other way. You know, no, that's not our portion. No, let them, like, be like, oh my goodness, I saw you do this, the great exploits. And I'm excited. So I've come to the end of the broadcast. I hope it has sparked something in you. I hope it has got you thinking in some sort of way. Please go and read about these revivals. I think there's something, history, learning about your history, I think, is very important, because it shows you where we've been and it can show you where you're going to go or what's ahead. So I hope you have been blessed. Just a kind reminder, don't forget to tune in this Sunday evening to The Words of Moses at 6:30 p.m. on 98.4 Impact FM. Have a blessed Sunday. God bless you.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the Nations.